So a retreat is like a rehearsal for life. It's not leaving the world, but going deeper into that very source of life, replenishing ourselves and stepping away to have some reflection upon, well, our priorities in life, what's important to us and what we can let go of. Pervalayat always said a retreat is like a treat. We're giving ourselves a treat. So how often do we give ourselves an opportunity to step away like this in sacred space and, you know, silence? It's such an amazing experience to do this, give this to yourself. What a gift. So let us take a moment to think of a very compassionate being, perhaps an ideal being like Kuan Yin or Buddha or Mary or Sufi masters, a very compassionate being. And close your eyes and place that being before one standing. Feel their love and compassion in the atmosphere, and it touches your heart very deeply. And we're going to create a golden cord between our hearts, two loving hearts. So as a being exhales, one inhales. And as one exhales, the being inhales, so there's an exchange of breath creating this golden cord. And one feels renewed and refreshed by being in the presence of this very compassionate being. And it awakens in one's own heart compassion for all beings. And being in the presence of such a being ennobles one's soul. Now take a moment to look into their eyes, exchange a glance, the light of the soul through the eyes. This is a moment when one feels really seen for who one truly is, for the divine qualities that are emerging in one's being. So in this attunement to compassion, let us share the Bismillah, Ir-Rahman, Ir-Rahim, in the name of the Blessed One, name of God, most merciful and compassionate. Anayat Khan said this is a practice that gives success in all our endeavors. So we would like to have a successful retreat, so we'll share this practice. Also, it develops beautiful qualities in our being, beautiful heart qualities. And we'll do the sung version because it's very beautiful, even though I don't have much of a voice, so you can help me. Let's all move to the right and then to the left and alternate. You'll see how it goes. See if we can all keep the same rhythm. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. 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 Sometimes during this practice, one can think of just rocking the child in your arms, and with compassion, the child being your loved ones, your community, the world, all those who are in need of this loving embrace and comfort. So there are some classical principles of retreat that are worth being aware of. We are sharing the alchemical retreat process, which is a process of transformation from the human to the divine. The principles are silence, fasting, isolation, and watchfulness. And each of these principles has both an inner and a hidden, seen and an unseen aspect to them. So beginning with silence, of course, the obvious one is that we've taken a vow to not to speak. So that's the outer meaning. The inner meaning is that as one no longer caught in conversation and speaking, there's a calming of the heart, and the heart's surface becomes like a calm surface of a lake. And within that is reflected one's intuitive knowledge, the voice of one's soul, and in the silence, one begins to commune with beings, seen or unseen. There's no being that one cannot connect with. And especially very harmonious with nature, because so often I see retreatants in silence communing with animals and nature all around in just such a beautiful way. And I remember the first retreats here at the abode many years ago, being in silence at lunchtime and sitting there and going, oh, you're just looking at each other. And it felt kind of unusual, but especially if you come from a very gregarious family, and everybody likes to share, but it was something that just went deeper and deeper as one went into that silence. Sort of, one had a greater sort of understanding, and your intuition sort of picked up signs or notes, as well as one begins to kind of see things one didn't see before in the silence. It's really very precious. I had a retreatant who was from South Africa, and he said he didn't realize there were like 40 colors of brown, shades of brown. He realized that on retreat. So you never know what a little treasure will come to you in your silence. It does take patience, but with the second principle, fasting, well, you've noticed that we are on a sort of vegetarian diet, and it's fairly simple, delicious, but simple, and probably a little bit unusual for our usual diet. So so fasting is, on the outer, is just eating simply and being appreciative of the good food and all those helping hands that are making it for us, all that, where the food comes from and how it's grown. And the inner meaning is letting go sort of addictions, things that we are attached to, not just food, but our thoughts and feelings that keep coming up to us, where we really don't find them helpful at times. We were covering that this morning, letting go things that hold us back from who we are. So the fasting is, on the secret of fasting is really observing, you know, how, what comes up, what you're holding on to, what you can let go of. What no longer is really helping you to fulfill your sense of well-being and purpose. The third principle is, well, it's isolation. And this represents that we're here in a group retreat, but in a way we've surrounded ourselves with a zone of silence. We feel like we're by ourselves, but we're with a group of people, nevertheless, other retreatants. So there's sort of a feeling of being alone, but hopefully not lonely. That's the downside of not speaking. You go through this place of perhaps feeling, you know, somewhat alone, lonely. I always say, go hug a tree, you know, go... You can smile at another retreat, and, you know, it's very serious, but you can smile, and the ways to communicate without words. And so being alone with God, being alone with the divine intelligence and that's working behind the universe can be very inspiring. There's no being, again, that you cannot reach in this inner state. The only thing that separates us is the veil that we cover with the eyes, the outer eyes. We think we're separated, but if one closes one's eyes, we're closer, and in the innermost part of our being, we're one. And then the fourth principle is watchfulness. And this is the attunement to being awake and aware, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally. You know, we're fairly crowded in this little space. And, you know, sometimes you feel very vulnerable when you're on retreat. And, you know, and if perhaps you're, have a moment of sadness, and you know you need that moment of sadness. And if someone comes up and says, "Oh, are you okay?" It doesn't help necessarily. But knowing that we are all aware of this time, that we are rejuvenating our spirit and recharging the batteries, that you know that prayers that we each receive what we need during these days, that the guidance that we search for comes to us, and we get really good rest and find a greater inner peace and well-being. So often with watchfulness, it's as Pirvalayat said, shake yourself awake, you know. Shake yourself awake, and just being very aware of your environment, of your, you know, physical well-being, what's happening. If you have to stand in line a little bit longer than you'd like for food, just watch yourself. Just what comes up for you, you know, what comes up mentally, the thoughts you might have that take you away from the retreat process. You know, getting back into your, like, problems and, you know, going around in a circle with the problems or your emotions. Usually they come like waves, you know, you'll have a emotion of sadness, maybe working with listening to Miserere music, and then afterwards it sort of passes and you feel more at peace with yourself. So outwardly, we are being aware, very aware of the environment. We're in a beautiful place this time of the year. It's just such a such wonderful weather, cool, a little bit cooler, and sunshine, beautiful, you know, garden and trees and flowers all around us. We're very just aware of the beauty, and but on the other hand, we're aware of what's happening within our own being. And being very awake. And you might even find in your dreams that you, you know, they speak to you of awakening process. So be aware of your dreams during the retreat. And sometimes in the process of opening your consciousness, expanding to more of a cosmic nature, you will tap into the suffering in the world today and the distress, and you might have a dream that reflects that. But, you know, it's not such a personal dream at this point. It's more having to do with the consciousness of humanity. So, you know, just be aware of that and, you know, watch it and see it. Sometimes it's good to go right into a practice of compassion or light or protection if you feel that's what is needed at that time, not only for yourself, but for others, for the planet Earth. Now, it's always inspiring to look at the tradition, you know, and the what has been passed on to us by those spiritual seekers of the past for many generations. And these are some of the sort of classic notes that are struck during a retreat process. So now let us attune to increasing our magnetism. One thing that you find on the spiritual path that you're always asked to help someone else. You know, it's like you can swim across the river, but you need to carry someone else too with you. There's always someone there who's going to need your energy and your light and your love and your kindness. So you have to kind of take care of yourself. I think that's really important, that you're not only being of service to others, but you are finding your own well-being and rhythm and. So I was thinking that a good practice we could share in the beginning of the retreat is working with magnetisms, the five magnetisms. It is one of the main reasons we come on retreat, because we feel so depleted. Our life just, you know, always taking care of what's needed in front of us and not what we want, so that we find that we, you know, just exhausted by life. And in fact, you know, the first day of retreat, you might find yourself really depleted because we don't realize how much energy we give out all the time. And also just watching, you know, these news and whatever takes our energy and out. And so we come on retreat and we're in silence, and if before you know it, you're sleeping in the middle of Pirzia's, Serafil Bauer's meditation, you know, because you're exhausted. And we've all gone to sleep in meditation, so you won't be the first or the last. So we'll attune to these magnetisms. Let's begin by the Kasa practice that we were shown this morning, placing our hands in the mudra for alternate nostril. Exhale a cleansing breath, and then we'll do three breaths left to right from the past to the future, three breaths from right to left, from returning to the past, rejuvenating at the past and healing the past with that vision and pull of a future. And then three breaths in and out both nostrils, sort of awakening consciousness, earth to heaven and heaven to earth. So let's continue at our own rhythm. Exhale a cleansing breath, breathing left to right. You can count if you wish or not. Now, the practice of Kasab is such a wonderful healing practice. It supposedly energizes all the systems of the body, gives a sense of well-being to the glands and circulation, respiration, the nervous system. And it also, as you inhale, it spirals up, the energy spirals up and passing through the different subtle centers and awakening our consciousness from the human to the divine nature. It's a really classic retreat practice. So we have the five magnetisms we'll focus on. And as we attune to each one, just ask yourself, is this magnetism depleted, or do I have a lot of this magnetism? And perhaps even make a vow to yourself to increase that magnetism by changing some pattern or some way of being that you feel depletes that particular magnetism. So we first attune to the physical magnetism. And we increase this magnetism by being in harmony with our environment. That's a challenge. Being in a good rhythm in life, with relaxation and activity, rest and repose and activity. We get so speeded up in our lives that we neglect our very necessary time to rest and recuperate, sleep well. I mean, that's even a challenge today. By having a good diet, healthy diet, good food, by cleanliness, so by lacking any of these, or, you know, we usually when we get tired, then we don't eat so well, and then we aren't sleeping so well, and then we start depleting our physical magnetism. So to increase this, we're going to share the divine name for life force, which was very much the attunement of this morning with Piazzia when he spoke of the life force all around us with the earth energy and the magnetisms of connected with the earth. And so the word is Yahai, Yahai. And you place it right down here in your belly and just feel as if you're drawing in the life force of the cosmos. Yahai, 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 Yahai. Yeah, hi. 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 Just continue thinking the ficker inhaling hi. And just feel like the cells have been recharged, just breathing in life force. They're sort of jiggling now. The cells are jiggling with life and light. Now ask yourself if there's anything one could do to improve your physical magnetism at this time. And listen to your intuition. And not just thinking about it, but open your heart and listen to the guidance from within. Maybe not having 3 cups of coffee in the morning. And maybe thinking about having herbal tea once in a while. Maybe being in more harmony with your neighbor. Now tuning to mental magnetism. So, of course, we deplete our mental magnetism when we have burnout, we're worrying too much, or our mind's in distress, we're anxious about a problem, can't get it resolved. We start doubting the truth of what we know. We kind of lose a sense of conviction. So increase this mental magnetism in creativity and imagination, being able to see the possibilities, be able to think out of the box, by insight, perspicacity, by wisdom, intelligence, sparkling intelligence. You know, you can see when someone has sparkling intelligence in their forehead, it sort of smiles at you. humor is in a, gives one, when you can laugh at yourself. You know, the Tibetan Buddhists end the new year by a laughing practice. They just start laughing at the new year, and they laugh for about an hour. I think I had a retreatant once who started laughing, and he couldn't stop laughing. And I just felt he was so light and light, and, you know, his mind just started sparkling with his laughter, and not just amazing. Of course, if you had retreatants, you cry too. So, it's really okay to cry. And also, it's also okay to rest in between your sessions, to really lie down. I do recommend that you relax. Sometimes just do this deep relaxation practice of lying down, either in your room or here, and just go through the body, tensing, relaxing everything, relaxing the mind, your worries, you know. And when Fuzio was talking about the waves that come through, just feeling the waves washing away your worries and your difficulties, well, just lie down and do that. And you might just fall asleep, which is fine. But it will really help if you do that each day. So to increase our mental magnetism, we'll share a practice. It's Allah Ya Alim, God is wisdom, Alim, A-L-I-M, Ya Khabir, intuitive awareness, K-H-A-B-I-R, and Ya Mubin, divine clarity, M-U-B-I-N, Mubin. So you can kind of go your head back and forth if you like Allah, Ya Alim, Ya Khabir, Ya Mubin. God is wisdom, intuitive awareness, and clarity. Allah, Ya Alim, Ya Khabir, Ya Mubin. Allah Ya Alim Ya Khabir Ya Mubin. Allah Ya Alim Ya Khabir Ya Mubin. Allah Ya Alim Ya Khabir Ya Mubin. Allah Ya Alim Ya Khabir, Ya Mubin. Allah, Ya Alim, Ya Khabir, Ya Mubin. Allah, Ya Alim, Ya Khabir, Ya Mubin. Allah, Ya Alim, Ya Khabir, Ya Mubin. Last time. Allah Ya Alim Ya Khabir Ya Mubin. And if you wish, take a problem you feel is facing you at this time, not the most difficult one maybe, but a problem, and just cast this light. Feel that you're casting this light through your forehead upon the situation. Just illuminate it with this wisdom, intuition, and clarity. Now, you might find there's an immediate response, a feeling, or sort of inner vision, but you also might find that it comes later, maybe in a dream tonight, an answer to the problem, or often I find after doing these practices, when I return to life, I'm in the situation, there's just a knowing. It's changed. I have sort of an understanding of the situation, and it's clear. So perhaps think now of something you can do to increase your mental magnetism. You know, when 9/11 happened, we had a Buddhist friend who called and said, we don't need worrying and, you know, anxious and watching this scene again and again. What we need is your prayers. So that's a helpful suggestion if you want to change a pattern of thinking that brings you sort of down, and to go into a prayer, an affirmation. So let us continue with the heart magnetism. So we lose our heart magnetism by lack of tolerance and being unforgiving, sort of judging, lack of sort of magnanimity or gratitude for all that we are given. And perhaps sort of lack of kindness at times. So we increase this magnetism in friendliness and generosity, compassion. When we have find the strength in our heart to endure and persevere and through the storms of life, so what is the condition of your heart at this time? And if we get caught in that sense of limitation, then the heart constricts, and it gets very tight and if we find that we have these qualities of the heart to open and be responsive to, you know, suffering, the suffering of in solidarity, then it increases the magnetism. And just as we were doing Estaghfar Allah, forgiveness this morning, forgiveness is sometimes just being able to maybe forgive and forget, or maybe if you can't forget, you can at least breathe into the heart and open the heart to greater compassion, love, just for beings. There's so many ways to approach opening the heart. So let us share once again the sound of Fazl. Fazl, F-A-Z, apostrophe L, means the divine harmony. And when you say it, make the fa sound right in the heart, like your heart is a gong, and you're striking the heart, and it's resonating out those beautiful qualities of the heart, you know, out to and deep inside yourself, and also out far and wide. So at your own rhythm, Fazl. Fazl. Fuzzle, 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 fuzzle. And continue feeling that echo of fuzzle resonating deeper and deeper and wider and wider. So if you wish, make a pledge to increase your heart's magnetism. And I find this particularly helpful when one is in inharmonious situations, whether it's a chaotic atmosphere like the airport or train station. Often I walk fuzzle. I remember when my children were really young and we'd have an argument when we didn't want one. I'd do it for the family. Lots of opportunities. We do it for the community and for the world at this time. So let us continue with the magnetism of the soul. So this is lost when we forget our divine inheritance, our nature, our transcendent and cosmic nature, that we're beings of light. That we have an inheritance of the many splendid attributes of the divine. Some of those have come through, others are dormant. It's all about remembrance. So let us just attune for a moment to the magnetism of the soul, feeling connected with our source and the light of lights. That within us is all possibility. And Nag Khan said, we're much greater than we think. When we get caught in that spirit of limitation, we forget that we are filled with magnetism and joy and light and all these qualities. So the retreat is a really good opportunity to remember. How is your magnetism of the soul? So there's a tradition with the Sufis. They would greet one another with saying, oh, how splendid is your being. How glorious is the presence in your being. They would just greet each other with Azim, A-Z-I-M, which is the divine ecstasy. It's that note of glorification of the soul. So they would just greet each other, Ya Azim. So let's just do that at your own rhythm. Ya Azim. Yazim. Yazim, 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 Yazim. There's a poem of Nag Khan's. He says, I come from a perfect source and I'm bound to a perfect gold. The perfect being is kindled in my soul. Nothing of the present or past can hold me back if I rise above all. And Yazim lifts our consciousness to the heavenly spheres. So perhaps make a vow to increase this soul magnetism by perhaps remembering to do your meditations daily. That's one way. Pirvalad always said I was very practical. So you hear these little practical suggestions that kind of come through. So the last, the fifth magnetism is spirit magnetism. And this is where we are, when there's no egotism, just totally receptive to the action of spirit upon us. It's sort of like a crystalline consciousness, very pure. I'm very serene. One thinks of a being a pure spirit, like Elijah or Mary, or being just such purity and awakefulness, empty of self. And when spirit comes through, it just goes where it needs to go. It's you can't channel spirit. It just it will go where spirit needs to awaken and purify, revivify. It's a great healing energy, and it's the finest of energies, but it's also the strongest of the energies. I remember being in Chamonix in the Alps camp with Pirvalad, and there was someone on retreat, and he said to them, "Your body's a wreck, but your spirit is strong." So let us share Yakudus, Q-U-D-D-U-S, and you press it through your mouth. It's very refined, sort of like an air sound, and Yakudus, even an overtone perhaps. So just at your own rhythm, Yakudus, 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 Yakudus. Yakudu, 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 yakudu. So for just a few moments, let us have a silence and just go back, review in your feeling these five magnetisms, perhaps descend from spirit to soul to heart to mind to life, physical life.